Good morning. Welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship together this morning.
So Good morning. Welcome to New Life. My name is Eric Van Egmond, and I am your host this morning. As we've gathered for worship here today, Little Lights, ages 3 to 5, and Kids Church, grades 1 to 5, now are invited to gather outside for worship at play in Kids Zone. So before you head down, kids, you're invited to come down to the front here, and we'd like to pray a blessing upon you. So all kids, ages 3 to 5 and grades 1 to 5, come on down, and your leaders as well. Come on down. So the kids will be, after we pray a blessing upon them, they'll be escorted outside. But parents, if you wish to bring them outside as well, you could just follow the crowd to the right too, and you can bring them outside as well. All right, please extend a hand of blessing to these beautiful children. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping you today. We pray a special blessing upon these children as they worship in their own way outside with their leaders. We pray as a New Life community that each one of us may be a blessing to these kids and have some influence on their faith journey. We can have influence through the volunteering, as our leaders here are about to do, through prayer, continued prayer for these kids, as they are raised up in a Christian lifestyle. Just bless us in our endeavor to influence their faith life. We pray a blessing upon their morning, give them a great time, and bless them. We know that you love them, we love them, and we long to see them form a relationship with you. Bless us in that regards, in Jesus' name, amen. So feel free to go out to outside to the door to my right here and follow your leaders there. And blessing to you. Thanks, kids. All right. Well, welcome again. We're so happy that you're here with us today. If you're a guest with us and you've been wanting to learn more about New Life, we ask that you fill out a Connect card, which you'll find in front of your pew or your chair, and bring that Connect card to the info booth. And in exchange for that Connect card, you will receive a tote bag. And inside that tote bag is a tumbler and a bag of our fair trade Honduran coffee. Which is delicious. So please feel free to do so. And if you're joining us online, give us a comment where you are and who you are watching with. GEMS and Cadets registration, we want to draw your attention to that. For kids grades 3 to 7, registration is open for our next ministry year, 23-24. They each run from October to May, every other Tuesday. GEMS is our girls program, and Cadets is our boys program. If you have any questions about this program or the registration, please talk to Sam Postma or contact the office. Registration closes September 15th, so make sure you don't wait to the last minute before, or if you forget, get your registration in to join the GEMS and Cadets program. You can also find registration on our website at newlifecrc.ca/events. Also want to draw your attention to Switch Life registration. Switch Life is our youth program for grades 8 to 12. They meet on Thursday evening starting in September. Please register your youth, and you can find the registration on our website at newlifecrc.ca/events as well. The kickoff event for Switch Life is Reactivate, which is September 8th to 10th. Reactivate is a youth conference put on by the local CRC churches where they spend time doing activities, worshiping, being in community, and learning more about Jesus. It is an awesome way to kick off the year for that group. So if you want more information, connect with Jacob Visser or contact the office if you have any questions. Each week, as part of our worship, we invite you to bring an offering to God as a way to express love and thankfulness for what God has done for us. Today, our designated cause is for Telecare Crisis and Caring Line. It is a Christian phone line that provides caring and empathetic listening ears for people in moments of personal distress or crisis. You can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen behind me, or bring it to one of the offering boxes at the front during the fellowship time. Please include your full name and gift designation in the memo line of your e-transfer or gift through the New Life app. If a gift is not designated, it would just be assumed to go to the New Life general budget. So let's spend a moment in prayer for Telecare. Please join me. Father, there is many people, perhaps some in here in this room and definitely outside of these walls, that are suffering in some way, a personal crisis, mental health perhaps, depression, or just in a personal crisis, and perhaps they are isolated and have no one to talk to, or perhaps the shame is such that they dare not talk to somebody that they know. And we are thankful that there is an alternative and a resource for many people experiencing such personal crisis by contacting the Telecare organization. We pray a blessing upon that organization. Thank you for the many people that participate in that organization, the volunteers who are on the phones. Give them wisdom and discernment as they listen to those who call in with many heart-wrenching stories. And we know that they have been able to talk folks out of pretty horrendous personal circumstances, people who are contemplating perhaps suicide, people who feel that there is no answer to their problems, people that are at wit's end. And we thank you that there is this resource to benefit those folks, and that it is a Christian organization, and that they may provide some relief and some resources and some care to those who need it. So bless our offering this day as it goes to that organization. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're now going to go into our fellowship time. Every service, we have a 3-minute fellowship time, which we are going to take now. During this time, we encourage you to meet someone. Perhaps if you see someone who you've never seen before, introduce yourselves to each other and to that person who may be here for the first time. We want to participate at New Life as a church family, and if somebody is here for the first time, we want to welcome them into our family. So greet each other, greet someone new. It's also time to present your offering, if you want to do that up front in the baskets here. And if you need an icebreaker question, you can ask your neighbor if they attended Gems, Cadets, or Switch Life. Thank you. And we now enter into our 3-minute fellowship time. Name is given by which we can be
let us find our life and live in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning. Welcome again to New Life. So glad you're here. Marvelous. Good to be back. Been away for a few weeks, and it's great to see your faces once again. Yeah. Wow. This morning you quieted down very quickly. I don't know what that is. Excellent. Well, so good to be together. I just want to take a moment and to pray together, pray for needs of our congregation and of our world. I know, especially in this particular summer and the news this past week of the big fire in Hawaii, that's also a major concern. And so let's lift up the needs of our world to God as we come to Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you are Almighty God. Thank you that you have this world in the palm of your hand. And yet, God, we look around and with natural devastation, and with all kinds of violence and war that takes place in our world, God, we admit we are scared and know that we need to trust in you. And so we pray, Father, that you will also bring your hand of blessing upon those who are affected by these disasters. We pray for comfort, for peace, for strength and courage in the midst of all of this. God, help us also to be mindful, though for many of us, probably all of us even, things are well, and yet, God, we commit our lives to you, trusting that you will provide for us, take care of us, watch over us, and may we also surrender our lives to you. Father, we pray for those who are sick. We pray especially for Nella Venema. Pray that you will continue to give her strength, sustain her with your presence. Father, we pray for others who find themselves in their personal lives in difficulty. We pray, Father, that you will bless them, that you will surround them with your love and care. God, we give you all of the glory. We are hungry for you, and we pray, Father, that you will feed us. Feed us with your word. Feed us with your presence. And may it give us life. Life to live to your honor and to your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're in this series of messages. We're taking a look at various characters of the Bible, and particularly people that we don't often hear from. And so that's our series. Find it suitable for the summer when each message is pretty much an individual message, so you don't have to keep tracking, although I invite you to go online if you've missed messages, and that way, well, you get to know some of the people in Scripture and what that teaches us about living our lives to the honor and glory of our God. Back in the 1980s, this is a while ago, but it's a story that really, really happened. I came across it, I couldn't believe, but it really is true. There was a couple living in Switzerland, Swiss couple, in the early 80s, and, well, they had a fight between the two of them. They were very wealthy. The husband had planned this spectacular vacation. The wife was looking forward to it very much. And for some reason, the husband canceled. Obviously, there was a lot of tension in the marriage already. And the wife was so mad that her husband canceled the vacation that she poured baking soda in the aquarium in which he had a collection of rare tropical fish, destroying the entire thing. Well, that set the husband off, and he could not be outdone, so he gathered up all of her diamond jewelry, and he threw it down the garbage disposal, turned it on, and ruined everything, jewelry and sink included. Well, not to be outdone, she then took all of his stereo equipment. Now, you got to remember, this is in the 1980s, so there was a whole wall of electronic equipment. She took it all, grabbed it all, and threw it in the backyard swimming pool. Well, things continued to escalate. He grabbed her $250,000 Picasso and kicked a hole in it, making it impossible to ever be valuable again. She was about to sink his 38-foot yacht. And finally, the daughter called the police. The police came by. They said, well, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing illegal about destroying your own property. So the family lawyer was brought in, and he managed to negotiate a truce. Can you imagine what that must have been like? The constant escalation. What's it like for you? What's it like for you to get caught up in that power struggle, that kind of an argument, that kind of tremendous anger? What's it like? What's your antidote to falling into that kind of a trap where you get caught trying to establish your sense of self, trying to establish your rights, trying to establish your way, what you think has to be, to get caught into that trap? Proverbs 27 suggests, stone is heavy and sand is a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Man, anger takes over, and you get caught in that trap when a fool provokes you to one up every time they seem to get ahead of you. Well, that's what our story is about in 1 Samuel chapter 25, a story about a couple named Abigail and Nabal. We're going to focus on Abigail because Nabal ends up dead, actually. But Abigail moves on to become the wife of David, who would become the greatest king that Israel, God's special people, would ever know. Great King David. And it's Great King David who actually ends up in this particular trap of anger. He is the one who is provoked by a fool. And the story occurs in the context of King David having to flee from King Saul. Well, actually, David's not the king yet. King Saul is still the king, but David has become the hero of Israel. And Saul is so jealous, he is trying to get rid of David altogether, trying to kill him. And so David flees into the wilderness. And in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, David has the perfect opportunity to get rid of King Saul altogether, to kill him and to get rid of all of his men. But he restrains himself, and he is able to exercise tremendous self-control and honor God's anointed king. And so he preserves King Saul's life. That happens in chapter 24. In chapter 26, the same kind of scenario occurs once again. And David once again preserves King Saul's life. And in between those two stories of David showing this tremendous restraint, we get chapter 25 in which David is provoked by the fool Nabal. David's army has been hanging around in the wilderness trying to escape from King Saul, and they need some sustenance. They need some food. They've been wandering around in the wilderness. They've been nearby where Nabal has his estate. Nabal is very wealthy. He has a tremendous amount of sheep, and it is sheep shearing time, and all of the shepherds have been shearing their sheep. But that's a very dangerous time because in their busyness, it's easy for raiders to come in and steal everything and destroy everything. And so David's men, David's great warrior, all of his men are great warriors, and they have acted as a security force for these shepherds. And David's simple request that he sends to Nabal is, hey, for our security services, could you just kind of feed my men? Nothing fancy. Just give us some food because, you know, we've been wandering around here and we've protected your men. So, you know, seems like a decent arrangement. Well, Nabal, which the name actually means fool in Hebrew, responds horribly. Chapter 25, verse 10. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to them, to the men coming from who knows where? I've got my rights," in other words, Nabal says, "and I've got my wealth, and I'm not sharing it with anybody. I don't owe anybody anything." Nabal answers horribly and consequently provokes David into responding horribly. And so David gets sucked into this sudden power struggle between might, his might, and Nabal's wealth and arrogance. And David threatens to wipe out Nabal and his whole estate. There's a story also of Ray Kroc. Ray Kroc was, he bought out McDonald's when it was just a little hamburger stand. And Ray Kroc developed it into, well, probably the world's greatest fast food restaurant, McDonald's. In 1974, Ray Kroc retired, and he bought the San Diego Padres baseball team. At that time, Reggie Jackson was one of the great baseball heroes of his time. And in 1976, he became a free agent. And so Ray Kroc thought, man, I need Reggie Jackson on my team. They entered into negotiations. The negotiations didn't go well at all. And at one point, Ray Kroc says, you know, Reggie, the trouble with you is you think you're God. And I've got news for you. You're not God. And then he added, I am. Well, needless to say, Reggie Jackson did not sign to the Padres. But that's kind of what's going on with David and Nabal. A similar situation, trapped in a power struggle. David tries to sign Nabal onto his team. Nabal rejects David's offer, and David responds and says, the trouble with you, Nabal, is you're not God. You think you're God, but you're not. I am. David falls into the trap. Enter Abigail. David's antidote to anger, to fury, to jealousy. Abigail acts quickly. Listen, here's what she does. She hears about this this spat between David and Nabal. She recognizes that this is not going to end well. And so we read in verse 18, Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And then she told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. Abigail knew how to act. She knew how to exit out of that trap. She's, in fact, the very opposite of Nabal. Nabal is described as surly and mean. And Abigail, in the chapter, you can go ahead and read it this afternoon or something. Abigail is described as a beautiful woman and very intelligent. She's also the antidote then to David's foolishness of wanting to slaughter Nabal, to wipe him out and all of his men. Abigail is the personification of Proverbs 16, verse 14. A king's wealth is a message of death, is a messenger of, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, and whoever is wise will appease it. Abigail knew how to do that. She's the personification, in fact, of wisdom itself. Remember, this is about a power struggle between King Saul and David. And whose side is God on? But God's not on either side just because of who they are. God's not on either side because one person's nicer or better or right as opposed to the other. God is simply on the side of wisdom. And inasmuch as David gives in to Abigail, accepting her kind, gentle, and gracious offering, he takes on the side of wisdom. In fact, in the story, he even ends up marrying Abigail after Nabal dies of a sudden heart attack. In other words, Abigail ends up being David's source of wisdom, his conscience. Again, Proverbs 3, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. What about you? You imagine yourself in that kind of power struggle, that kind of trap of trying to one-up another person just to establish yourself, just to say, well, I count too. How do you respond? Wisdom is knowing what fits. It's not even a matter of being a better person. It's not a matter of being right. It's not a matter of being nicer. In fact, Proverbs itself illustrates that as well. One of my favorite passages, I've probably shared it here before, is from Proverbs 26. I love this passage. In verse 4, it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him." You think, oh, okay, so that's the right thing to do. I have to do what's right. But you get into trouble when you read the very next verse, because the very next verse is, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." It's not a matter of trying to figure out whether you're right and the other person is wrong. It's a matter of choosing wisdom, of acting in wisdom, acting in the kind of grace and mercy and kindness that Abigail demonstrated to pull this whole situation out of a horrible trap. Wisdom is knowing how to respond in those moments of crisis. And sometimes wisdom comes to us in the person of an Abigail. Or sometimes we're called to be an Abigail in the presence of a crisis. And as followers of Jesus, Abigail points to the wisdom of Christ that we need to seek and that we need to imitate. Ultimately, the wisdom of Christ is how God uses his power to bring salvation into the world. A wisdom that the Apostle Paul says looks like foolishness to the rest of the world. Just as Abigail's actions would have looked like foolishness to both Nabal and David. That's not going to get the job done. But it does. Not by might, not by force, not by brute power, but by meekness, by selflessness, is how we establish ourselves in this world. Philippians 2 is that wonderful passage that illustrates by way of example of how Jesus establishes himself in this world. That Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, every tongue would confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, the greater King to King David, our King, is the Lord of all, the Master of all, the controller of all, not because he made a name for himself, but because in apparent weakness, he overcame sin and death. That gives God's ways the look of weakness. Ways in which we say, that's not going to get the job done. And yet it does. David had to learn that, to surrender the revenge, to commit to mercy. Every fool has had to learn that and to gain that kind of wisdom. You and I need to gain that kind of wisdom. And at times, certainly in the heat of the struggle, it's going to seem impossible. And yet, even as we're gathered here, Christ feeds us with that kind of wisdom to live our lives, to establish ourselves in selflessness. I love the way C.S. Lewis describes it in his book, The Problem of Pain. Here's what he says. He grabs a hold of this sense of ourself, and he calls it the golden apple of selfhood. The golden apple of selfhood, he says, thrown among the false gods, became an apple of discord because they scrambled for it. They didn't know that the first rule of the holy game, which is that every player must by all means touch the ball and then immediately pass it on to be found with it in your hands. It is to hold on to it, to try to establish yourself, to get caught in that trap. To be found with it in your hands is a fault. To cling to it is death. But when it flies to and fro among the players, too swift for eye to follow, and the great master himself leads the revelry, Jesus Christ, giving himself eternally to his creatures in the generations and back to himself in the sacrifice of the word, then indeed the eternal dance makes heaven drowsy with the harmony. I love that. When we can catch hold of this vision of Christ's wisdom to establish ourselves in this world as servants of Christ, selflessly giving up ourselves for the sake of God's kingdom, that revelry, that game, playful as it can be, will make heaven drowsy. And we can enter into praise. Despite all that goes on in the world, confident that God has established his salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate that this morning in communion, in the Lord's table. The way of God's kingdom is self-sacrifice. And Jesus gave us this gift of his table, of this supper, to feed us into the way of the kingdom. Now, quite frankly, right now, I had a light breakfast, and so I'm very hungry. And when we partake of this communion, it's not going to entirely satisfy the hunger. And yet, earlier we sang that God satisfies us completely. And I think sometimes God has satisfied us entirely too much so that we just sit here like lumps on a log, not hungry, not thirsting, for Christ to feed us with his wisdom. I pray that in this service, as we partake of this Lord's Supper, that God will feed us and that we have that sense that only God can satisfy us, as hungry as we might be for contentment in our life, for satisfaction in our life, for fulfillment in our life, and only Christ can do that. But we need to hunger and thirst after him. And so let's gather around the Lord's table to celebrate the sacrifice that Christ has made for us in order to feed us. So hopefully you, as you entered into the doors of this auditorium, you received the communion elements. If you have not, please raise your hand and one of the servers can then distribute the communion elements to you. Raise your hand right now. Someone will run towards you and give you communion elements. Everybody has been served? A few people? in a spirit of thankfulness, of deep gratitude in our hearts, we gather together before the Lord's table as Jesus gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body. It's given for you for the forgiveness of sins." And in the same way, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, poured it out, said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." And then the Apostle Paul said, "For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." The Lord's death. Why? Because by his death, he conquered sin and death. That is the wisdom of Christ, the foolishness of the world. And we proclaim it because therein lies our victory. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Father in heaven, Lord, we pray that you will send your Spirit upon us, to all who eat and drink at this table. God, satisfy our hunger for you. Satisfy our thirst for wisdom to live to the honor and glory of your kingdom. And may you draw us together as one body, one holy people, a living sacrifice to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, people of God, the Lord has prepared his table for all who believe in Jesus as their Savior and as the master of their lives. If you believe that, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome at this table to celebrate the victory that Jesus has won for us. Take the communion elements, flip it to the narrow side, and take the wafer that is hidden in there. I want you to take this wafer. We're going to eat it together. Take it. Eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith and with thanksgiving. Take the cup side, peel off the film. We'll drink it together. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you because he loves you so much, and he redeems you from a life of sin and foolishness. So enter into the wisdom of Christ and be thankful. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's stand and celebrate together God's salvation as we commit our lives to serving him in the wisdom of Christ. Wisdom of Christ. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.